This is the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I'm your host, Martha Riley. I'm a TEDx speaker, cheese pizza lover, and master human connector. I help introverts, people with social anxiety, and awkward humans of the world find confidence, connection, and their cool factor. Because have you ever been to a party and someone asked you a question that you didn't know the answer to? Yeah, me too. It fucking sucks. But that's where I come in. I'm asking the questions so you'll have the answers. So sit back, relax, because there's shit we need to know. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I hope you are having a great week, and I especially hope that you listened to last week's episode with my new co-host. I'm so excited, and I know I've said that probably 100 times already, but I really am so excited to embark on this new podcast journey because I felt that I loved doing interviews, and I know I said this before, and I liked getting to know my guests, but I do feel like there wasn't enough me in the podcast. And I am very much all about being authentic and being yourself and showing up online because I realized that if I tell my stories and if they even help one person, that makes this all worth it to me. So that's why I wanted to start this new podcast, do this new thing. Well, okay, that's inaccurate. I wanted to start this new version of the podcast. It'll still be the same. I've gotten a lot of questions on that. It'll still be the same Shit You Need to Know. It'll still be me, just with another person. We are still going to be talking about things that millennials could find useful in their daily lives. And not only that they could, but I know they will find them useful because we are picking topics that are very personal to each of us and very relevant to what's going on in the world today. So I'm just fucking pumped for everything. Like that's just how I feel right now. And I know it'll be a nice break on my mental health, not having to schedule a million interviews. I think 1 week I had 11 and that was just way too much. So yeah, let's get into it. This week's question is, do you still use Snapchat? So a better question is Snapchat or Instagram? For sharing personal photos, because I know Snapchat was really big, is really big. I'm not quite sure anymore because I have basically converted to using Instagram. I used to use Snapchat a lot more even like 6 months ago or something, but now I just feel that it's kind of weird and I don't really like it anymore. So yeah, that's my question. Do you use Snapchat or Instagram for sharing personal types of photos? And I know it's probably maybe a more nuanced question than that because each platform is used for different things. So I don't know. You tell me. You can find me on Instagram at RealMarthaRiley to answer the poll on Wednesday. I hope you guys like these questions. I never really, you know, polled the audience if you like these kind of polls, but I think they're fun and it's an interesting way to start off the episode. These will be staying, I'm pretty sure. On today's episode, we have Lucy Smith, all the way from the UK. Hey, that rhymed. She is a personal development mentor after her own struggles with anxiety, fears, and confidence. So she went through a lot in life, just like all of us. But instead of sort of wallowing in that grief and in that pity, she decided to do something about this. So she, you know, continues to manage her, you know, anxiety, fear, and confidence using personal development techniques, self-care, and a really strong morning and evening routine. We also talk a little bit about meditation, which I find very interesting. After, you know, she went through all of this, it really became her mission in life to support as many people as possible with their own struggles through all of these things that she's learned, right? So she learned all these things, she put them to good use by teaching others, and it's very apparent in this interview that we do. She also has a membership site, which I will link in the comments, and she has a membership site, which I will link to in the comments. But Lucy was really fun to interview. We just get really you know, we lay the topic bare. We lay, okay, like anxiety is hard. How can we take care of ourselves? And what do we do if some of those techniques are failing? How can we get that back up? How can we use all these kinds of information to make our lives better? Because I think at the end of the day, that's all we really want, right? We want our life to be good. And sometimes it takes a little extra work. I know right now I'm sort of going through a period of anxiety and depression, and it didn't occur to me. I just thought I was feeling lazy and not wanting to do anything. But then I realized, oh no, this is what that is. It's been a while since I felt this way. And so a friend DM'd me on Instagram and was like, well, you know, make sure you're taking care of yourself too. And I think that's something that I've definitely forgot in this self-care journey. So editing this episode and hearing that, that's something I am going to be making a priority in the next couple of weeks, and I hope you do too. So, Lucy, take it away.
I'm Lucy, and I am a personal development mentor. And this came about because I have had my own struggles with anxiety and depression and lack of confidence and self-love. And I got through it all and managed it all now with personal development. So once I'd come out the other side, I felt like it was my purpose in life to help other women on the same journey and to give them the support that I so desperately needed and couldn't find going back to my late teens.
I feel the same way. I think that journey of feeling, you know, very anxious and feeling that it'll never get better, I know that was like a really big thing for me. But I was, you know, grateful enough to have the support and have the, you know, resources that I need. But I also know that a lot of people don't have the support they need. So that's really great, what you are doing for sure. So we talked a little bit about this, or I sent you some questions, and I want to ask, like, if I am tired of feeling trapped, so let's just take an example from my life, I guess. I feel very trapped in my work environment. Like, I feel like I'm not moving up. It's causing me anxiety just because I really don't like the work that I do, and I feel stressed going to work every day. What are some of the steps that I can take to sort of alleviate that feeling of being, you know, stuck and trapped in this situation?
So I always think that everything should start with reflection. So reflect on how you're currently feeling, reflect on what's causing those feelings, whether it is the job or whether it's some kind of mindset thing in the example that you gave. Because sometimes we could be feeling trapped because we're feeling anxious or depressed, and that could happen in all areas of our life. And it may not particularly be work, for example, that is causing you to feel trapped. So it's really reflecting on where that's coming from, what's triggered it, what started it, and then from there you can begin to think about how you want to feel and where you really want to go forward from there, and then you can take those steps to get to how you want to feel.
So I love that idea of self-reflection. How have you seen that work in your own life? How have you like come out of anxiety and feeling, you know, stuck through self-reflection and through self-talk?
So I use self-reflection on a weekly basis. Even now, when my anxiety and depression is managed on the whole, I still use it as an ongoing process. And it's helped me in so many ways. It's helped me to realize what my fears are and how I can overcome them. It's helped me to realize what holds me back with my confidence, so then I could create new affirmations and positive self-talk that I could say to myself, because I know what specifically is causing my lack of confidence. And I've used it in so many ways in my business as well. Self-reflection on what's going well, what's not going well, how I can improve. So it's just a great way to improve yourself personally and professionally.
I love that idea. Could you talk a little more about that professionally? Because I am big in the self-development world. Like, I know, like, I've had life coaches, I've had mentors help me through some hard times, but I've actually never heard of it being used professionally. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah. So for example, if you have a business and you've just done a launch, you could do some self-reflection on what went well. So just thinking out loud now, what went well was live videos and how interactive everything was. What didn't go quite so well was that I didn't maybe show up as much as I could have done on my email list, but I did really well in Facebook and on Facebook Live. So you're reflecting on what went well, what didn't go well. You can also reflect on how you felt during it. So whether you felt excited, whether you felt nervous, whether you felt a bit too attached maybe to it and you didn't allow yourself that self-care time, or whether you just had a really enjoyable launch period and everything went well business-wise, self-care-wise.
Awesome. I think that's really important. And I think that leads really nicely into the next question. But what's a great way for us to improve like our self-love and self-talk? Because it's very easy to, I think, look at things and you'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll do that. But then you never actually get around to it. So what have you found to be like a really easy way to, you know, get your mental state up and raise the vibrations, I guess you could say, in your own life?
For me, that definitely has to be affirmations. So affirmations are really powerful statements that are written positively and in the present tense. So for example, I am confident, I am worthy, I am loved, I am strong, I am successful. And I really like them when they start with I am, and then you basically complete the sentence with how you want to feel. And you repeat them to yourself on a daily basis, in your head, out loud. You can write them down. I particularly like them at the moment. I am getting a bit more into hypnosis. So mixed in with hypnosis, they're really, really powerful. And I found really great results with that recently. And particularly with self-love, actually. But it's a really, really powerful tool.
I love that. Could you also talk a little bit more about hypnosis? That's really cool and something I've never actually, no one on the podcast has talked about that yet. So I'd love to hear more about that.
So I'm actually not trained in hypnosis. So I don't particularly know an awful lot about it. But for me, I absolutely love hypnosis because it gets you into a deeper state of relaxation, almost like a meditation, but on a slightly deeper level. And then, you know, like on the TV programs and films, when you see hypnosis and they look like they've fallen asleep and they can do whatever the person tells them to do, it isn't like that, or my experience hasn't been like that. It's more about just getting into that deep state of relaxation and then listening to the positive affirmations. And because your subconscious mind takes over during hypnosis, it gets straight into your subconscious mind. So your conscious mind doesn't have the chance to argue, doesn't have the chance to say, well, actually, you're not confident, you're not worthy, you're not loved, you're not successful, because it goes straight into the subconscious mind. So it's a really powerful way to get those affirmations straight into your subconscious mind.
Cool. I think I should look into that. That actually sounds really interesting. I'll have to do my research. A fun part of the podcast, and I didn't send you these questions because I like them to be off the cuff. And I think your answers will be interesting just because most of the guests that I've interviewed have been in the United States. So I would love a multinational perspective. But the first question, and you don't have to answer this one if you want, but what is the most awkward or embarrassing thing that's happened to you?
I would probably say when I was in school, I played and still play the sport of bowls. And me and my sister both played, and we tried to keep it quiet because it wasn't a particularly cool thing to do. I think you do play it in America. I'm not sure how big it is. We tried to keep it a secret from our friends at school, and they found out. And it was really awkward because they were like, well, that's an old person's sport. My granddad plays that. Like, you're 13. What are you doing playing that sport? So that was rather awkward for both me and my sister.
I don't know if we do play that. What is bowls? I guess I don't know.
So bowls is, it's really hard to explain to people that don't play. So it's a sport. It can be played indoors on carpet or outdoor on grass. And the bowls have a bias, so they don't go straight like a tempin bowling ball. They have a bias, so they bend like an arc. And you have a little ball about between 23 and 30 meters away from you. And you have to get close to that ball as you can.
Okay. Yep. We play that. We call it lawn bowling. There is actually a very well-known British pub in Minnesota where I live, and they have a whole rooftop dedicated to this. So I totally know what that is now. I have played it before, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. I'm very bad at it, but it's hard. You want to overshoot it, but I don't know. I'll have to play more and do better. But the next question is, what is your favorite frozen pizza?
So I'm actually gluten-free, so it would be a gluten-free pizza. Otherwise, I'd be severely ill. Yeah. So I would probably say it has to be chicken, bacon, and sweet corn.
Ooh, that's a combination I've never heard of. Huh. I'll have to share that with people. That sounds really interesting, actually.
With barbecue sauce as well. It's amazing.
That sounds fancy. We just sort of eat, you know, cheese, pepperoni, or sausage over here. Nothing fancy. So this last question is it's very open-ended, and that's the point, because then it leads into great conversation I've been finding. So what does human connection mean to you?
Oh, that's a deep one, that is. So I would say feeling at one with others and feeling like we're all here for a reason, and we can all support each other, we can all work together, and that works in all sorts of ways, with families, with friends, with business friends, with absolutely everyone. So just working together, all supporting each other and inspiring each other and motivating each other. So yeah, I think that's probably what it means to me.
I think that's a very good answer. I love that you said we're all here for a reason. I think that's really powerful. And I think it's very easy to sort of lose the sight of the bigger picture. But I think that sums it up, really. It's like, okay, yep, we're all here for a reason. We all have things to do, and we'll all get it done. So I really like that. That's a great answer.
Yeah, it's not bad for thinking off the top of my head.
Oh, way to go. With that, you know, we're all here for a reason. I think, what are, you know, the top three things that millennials, so people in that 20 to 30-ish age range, need to know about personal development? And I would say that maybe your first one could be, we're all here for a reason. But if you have other things, I'm happy to listen.
I was thinking before we came on the call, and I've got three that I think are the most important things to know. So the first one would be to do what you enjoy. So I'm always saying this to my clients, and I'm not the kind of mentor that tells you what to do and what not to do. I always recommend, give advice, make suggestions, and then I leave it up to my clients to explore, see if they enjoy it, and if they enjoy it, to carry on. And if they don't, to stop and to explore other options. And when they find the ones that they enjoy, stick with those. So that would be the first one. The next one is to create routines. So I always find with personal development, the more sort of organized it is, the better results that you'll get. So rather than just meditating when you feel like it, or journaling when you get 5 minutes, actually create that routine. So I like to do mine first thing in the morning. So as soon as my alarm goes off, I know that I go straight into hypnosis, then I read, then I do yoga, then I do meditation, and then I journal. So I know that that's set in stone, that's a routine, I have that time scheduled out, and it's the same every single day. And then the last one is to be consistent with it. So stick with it, do it every day, set alarms if you need to remind yourself, and get consistent with it, because consistency is what creates habits.
I think that's really important, and something I definitely struggle with is that like be consistent thing, because I want to like, I don't know, have fun and do a lot of things, but then I forget to like, you know, do self-care. And then this last week I was actually like really sick. So that's what happens to me if I ignore my self-care. What are some of the habits that you enjoy? You mentioned meditation and hypnosis. Are there any other things and affirmations that you haven't mentioned that other people may enjoy?
Yeah, so I also really enjoy visualization, and I do that generally before I go to sleep. So I like to go to sleep, listen to relaxing music and visualizing, and I tend to visualize how I want my life to look, how I want my personality to be. So that would be full of confidence, feeling happy, surrounded by friends and family, with a successful business that I really enjoy and that's inspiring. And then also gratitude is another habit that's really, really powerful. And so many studies have shown that you can't actually feel gratitude and a negative feeling at the same time. So if ever you're in that sort of downward spiral where everything seems to be going against you and it feels like the whole world's against you, really just flipping that to think about everything you have to be grateful for can completely change your perspective and your attitude on it.
That's so interesting. I had never heard that before. I wrote that down immediately because I was like, what? Mm-hmm. That's crazy. No, that's super awesome. And I think they're all very positive things to implement as well. I wanted to ask, is there anything that you have like felt personally from all your visualization? Like, what's an example of something that you visualized that maybe came true?
Oh, I love this question because there's one that's really, really key. So I worked in the same job for about 4 years with no progression, and I didn't enjoy it very much. Because I was too afraid of getting another job. I was too afraid of applying and being rejected. I was too afraid of having to do an interview if I did get an interview. And then I was afraid of having to make new friends and learn a new job if I had got the job. And this was around the time that I was getting really into personal development. So I decided I would try visualization for this job that I applied for. So I visualized myself first doing the job application really well and getting an interview, which I did. And then I got an interview and I visualized myself walking into that interview full of confidence, answering all the questions as well as I could and doing really well. And bearing in mind, the interview was actually for a school and it was a 4-hour long interview, including an interview with two of the senior team, an interview by a group of pupils and an observation in a classroom. So it was a really full-on interview. And I visualized myself going through it completely confidently and it being really successful. And I went to the interview and I literally can't tell it apart. I cannot tell the difference between the visualization and the actual interview. And it went so well that I should have found out the day after if I got the job, but they actually phoned me about 3 hours after the interview finished to tell me that I'd got the job. And there was something like 30 or 40 people went for about 10 jobs. So I was super, super excited that my visualization came true.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. And that's definitely inspiring to people who feel that, you know, maybe they've tried this or it hasn't worked before, but you are proof that it does work. So that's great. You mentioned your personal development journey a lot. And I'm curious, what you mentioned sort of how it got started, but what were some of the resources that you turned to when you were first starting out? Were there any favorite books that you watched or any good movies or books or anything?
So I actually really struggled to find things that could help me. But a couple of my favorites were The Anxiety Solution book by Chloe Brotheridge and also Confidence by Katie Piper. And they were the two standout books that I always recommend because they massively helped my anxiety and confidence. And the tools that I learned in there, I continue to use with myself and also with my clients, and I've had amazing results with on lots and lots of women. So those are definitely the two standout books. Since then, I've read probably close to 100 books over the last 3 years. Yeah, like I said, I did really struggle with finding a place where everything I needed was in one place, which is part of the reason I then went on to start this business, because I couldn't find what I needed. So now I've created what I needed and what people still continue to need now.
Totally. I think that's so fun. I love that you did that because there is so many materials out there and I think it's really easy to feel overwhelmed. So I think, you know, that's great. If you are able to like take everything you learned and make it fun and approachable and easy to digest, that's so awesome. That's exactly what we need, I think. And sort of the next question is, why is self-care so important in this day and age? And Lately, I've been feeling the importance of boundaries. I'm like kind of bad at making boundaries for myself. Like I want to do everything all the time, but now I'm realizing like, oh, I can't do that. Otherwise I'm going to get sick, which is exactly what happened. So I wanted to ask you, you know, why is it so important? Like right now more than ever.
So I think that we feel guilty when we spend time looking after ourselves. We feel like we need to get the essentials done, like washing ourselves, looking after ourselves and getting the basic needs met. But actually, I think self-care is so important for our physical and mental health. And like you just said, you get sick if you don't make time for yourself or you don't set those boundaries. And it's like that for a lot of people, whether physically or mentally. It's just so exhausting to just go 100% with work, family life, household jobs and everything like that and never take the time for yourself is really, really exhausting. So it's never good for your health in any way. And also I think making that time for self-care gives you the time you need to rest and relax. And it can help in so many ways. It can help you to feel happier. It can improve your relationships and improve all areas of your life. And although it does feel like you should feel guilty because you feel like you're being selfish almost, you're actually going to benefit your family, your friends, your colleagues and everyone around you by putting yourself first and making that self-care time for yourself.
That's great. I love that. I think... Yeah, I've been definitely struggling. So I think I'll definitely go back and listen to this interview when I need to realize that like, okay, yep, nope, something's wrong, something's off. But that brings up a follow-up question for me, I think. What are some of the things you notice in your body when you're not having self-care or like doing self-care and feeling really anxious? Because for me, it manifests in very like physical symptoms, like my chest feels tight. I just feel like really tired all the time. Is there anything that you in particular maybe notice about that?
So to be completely honest, I am really, really good with self-care. So I actually don't very often feel symptoms like that because I am really on top of it and I do self-care every single day. I do about 90 minutes a day of personal development and about an hour a day of self-care as well. So I'm really, really on top of it. However, if it does slip, which it hasn't for a while now, but if it does, I begin to feel really tired. I get more triggers for anxiety and also things get to me a little bit more. So things that wouldn't normally bother me begin to bother me. So those are a few things that I have felt in the past and I have experienced.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Well, that's awesome that you don't feel that anymore. I think as much as I would love to do self-care a lot, I don't feel like I have the time. Have you heard that from your clients? Like, oh no, I don't have the time to do this. There's no point. And what do you say to them?
Yes, I hear that all the time. And what I would say is that we all have the same amount of time in the day and we all have similar things to deal with. So we like the majority of us have jobs and have hobbies and family life and friends and things like that. And some of us even businesses as well on the side. So we all have a lot. And just to put this into perspective, I still work my full-time job at the school. I run two businesses on the side. I play a sport pretty full time because I play it quite competitively and I still make time for at least 2 hours of personal development and self-care. So just to put that into perspective, there is time. It's just about making time. So you can make time by waking up earlier or by spending less time on the bad habits like watching TV or scrolling social media, for example. And just replace those bad habits with good ones. So if you watch 3 hours of TV in the evening, change that to one and spend the other 2 hours on self-care. If you spend the first half an hour of the day scrolling your phone in bed, swap that for reading a personal development book. So there are ways around it. So just maybe reflect on where you've got that extra time and how you can spend it.
I think that's really important because... you can't really afford not to do self-care, really. I think it's...
Yeah, I completely agree, yeah. I think, if anything, it actually will benefit you in other areas of your life. You'll feel that you have more time. You'll feel more productive. You'll feel happier. and you'll be able to perform better in your home and work life. Basically, the main thing that I would love your listeners to take away from this is just that personal development and self-care is really important, and you can make time for it. And if you need support on the journey, then reach out to someone that can support you, whether it's me or whether it's someone else, and just find that support that you need to get you on the right track.
Awesome. And where can we find you, and where can we look at your work?
So my main website, where the blog is and where my membership site, the Mindset Mastery, is succeednow.co.uk. I've also, like I said, I've got two businesses. So the second business I've just started recently, a couple of months ago, with my sister. And that is very similar, but it is based on children. So it's resources for schools and parents to support their children with mindset, confidence, and feelings. So that's called Cheerful Children. So there are the two places that you can find me. You can reach me there.
Thank you, Lucy, to a great interview. As a reminder, this will be one of our last episodes with just me interviewing people. I think interviews are going away for now, but they may come back, and Colby and I may interview some people at our discretion. But if you are worried about missing all the interviews, I encourage you to catch up with the back catalog before our new format premieres. Have a great Wednesday, and I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I've set up a phone number in case you have a question you need answering or just want to talk. Feel free to give me a ring at 301-941-7448. That's 301-941-SHIT. Also, don't give me a ring. No one does that. You can text the number too. I don't know why I said ring. If you enjoyed this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast, feel free to subscribe on iTunes and rate it 5 stars.